From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Korva Coleman, in for Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Korva. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Great pleasure to be with you today. We have got a great show for you today. Congressman Henry Waxman, known as the Mustache of Justice, will be joining us later to play Not My Job.
You lie!
Excuse me, Korva?
I'd like to apologize. I'd let my emotions get the better of me.
Okay. Well, Mr. Waxman will be here, and we hope you will be too. Give us a call. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now it's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, Peter. This is Jane Frederick.
Hey, Jane, where are you from?
Well, I just want to preface by saying I didn't vote for it.
All right. But
I'm from Beaufort, South Carolina.
I knew it. And there's such uncertainty as to who him could be, yeah. You know.
We'll be moving along to your governor in a minute, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. We figure it's a good week if we don't get on Wait, Wait, as a state.
Well, welcome to the show, Jane. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and author of the new book, Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Jane. You have my sympathies.
Thank you. I need it.
Now, say hello to the deputy editor and blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hello, Kiri.
Hi, Jane.
Finally, it's a humorist and author of the new book, Driving Like Crazy, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke, right there.
Hi, Jane.
Hello, P.J.
How you doing?
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Jane. You're going to play, of course, Who's Korva this time? Korva Coleman, filling it for Carl Castle. We'll read you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify or explain two of them. You know that. If you do, you win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
Here is your first quote.
There remain some significant details to be ironed out.
That was the big laugh line. In a big speech to Congress this week, what speech?
The President Obama's speech on health care.
Yes, indeed. Very good.
He is such a kidder, president.
He is. Funny man. He did, as he say, leave out some details, like will the death panels be stained or natural wood? President Obama explained what his health care reform program will do. It will make us all happy and healthy and get together and love one another right now. And what it won't do, it won't create death panels or cover illegal immigrants or allow him to seize your liver whenever he gets hungry.
But that's Rahm Emanuel's
exactly.
job.
But what everybody, of course, is talking about after the speech was not the speech itself, but the Republican response. And by that, I mean Congressman Joe Wilson of, yes, South Carolina, shouting, "You lie," at the president, becoming the second South Carolina politician this year to insert himself somewhere inappropriately. They just can't stop. But Wilson, despite all the attention he got, was not the only Republican to heckle the president at the speech. Others booed. Some held up signs with the message, "What bill?" One Republican from Illinois got up and walked out right in the middle. That, plus the entire Alabama Republican delegation, they whipped off their shirts to show that they painted the word Muslim across their chests.
Well, the last guy got a little confused and it really said Muslin, but
yeah, well, you know. It was misspelled. They had to run around.
Did you see the video of I hate to pick on you, Jane, but Lindsey Graham?
Oh, this was great. This
Lindsey Graham.
The
president made an analogy about public health and public universities. And Lindsey Graham briefly thought it was a pretty good point and started to applaud, but then looked around, and he turned it into, like, wiping his hands. Like,
yes.
I missed that part.
Oh, that's great.
Obviously he'd been studying his Bible and saw the Pontius Pilate technique for handling a crowd. And
Charlie pays a little too much attention to these things, Jane. We just, you know, it's...
Well, I want to know where Lindsey Graham's hands are at all times because he's from South Carolina.
Jane, For your next quote, we actually have two different reactions to something that happened this week on Tuesday. Here is a fourth grader from Indiana.
So I'm going to be good now and not do bad things and not make fun of people.
And here, in contrast, is a high school freshman from Virginia.
I thought it was lame.
Those two kids were talking about a message they got from whom?
It was the address that President Obama gave to the school children.
Yes, President Obama again. President Obama's nationally broadcast speech. Yes, his speech to the school children made history, not because he spoke to kids, other presidents have done that, but because he set a record for product placements in presidential remarks. He mentioned no less than 5 brand names, Xbox, iPhone, Google, Twitter, and Facebook. And I'm betting he got paid a lot more for saying those names than I just did. But seriously, the speech was pretty innocuous, hit on some basic important themes, and it was the only speech Obama gave this week in which the audience did not act like children.
However,
yes.
many of their parents did.
Yeah, apparently.
It was lame.
I think both the kids were right, by the way.
It was lame.
It
was lame.
It was kind of lame. I mean, it was.
Come on.
Here, we just recapitulated every middle school lunchroom in America, right there.
It was another thing for children to ignore on the first day of school. Yeah. You know, like homeroom.
It was mixed. I mean, one thing that always strikes my ear, he said this before, and he said it again this week. He encouraged kids to give up their dreams of being a rapper or NBA star as unrealistic. That's President Obama's message to our children. You can be anything you want as long as it's not cool. All right, Jane, here we go. Here, Jane, is your very last quote.
I'm going to have to buy this for my parents this Christmas, aren't I?
That was from a 25-year-old. He was invited by the New York Times to play a new video game that has taken the world by storm this week. What's the game?
It's the Beatles game.
The Beatles Rock Band game. Very good. Very good. As if you needed any more proof that baby boomers still rule our world, the most exciting video game in years is one in which players recreate the music of a band that has been defunct for 40 years, and the two surviving members of which are both pushing 70. Also this week, another complete box set of the Beatles music was released. They're supposedly remastered, but they're really just carefully engineered so as to work well with most hearing aids. By the way, the game, you know how it works in this business. There are already pirated versions of Beatles Rock Band with the similar music, but not nearly as good. It's called Wings Rock Band.
Ouch. Ouch.
You know, generally speaking, the audience, we've done this for a few years. Generally speaking, the audience, if you become angrier and angrier, we're not doing well. Corva, how did Jane do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, Jane was perfect. She got 3 right, so she's going to win Carl Castle's voice on her home answering machine.
Well done.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
He's got a good reason for taking the easy way out. He's got a good reason for taking the easy way out. 'Cause I'm a dad.